From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. It wasn't too little, but it may have been too late. The Republican establishment tried to take down Donald Trump this week by hitting him with a barrage of attack ads, but they failed to stop him. On Tuesday, Trump cemented his lead in the Republican primaries and knocked out Marco Rubio. On the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton also scored major victories. This election has been like no other. One reason, it's the most expensive one ever. But what does all that cash buy, and who's spending it and why? To help sort that out, I'm joined by the Center for Public Integrity's John Dunbar. John is an executive editor who runs the Center's Buying of the President Project. His reporting team meticulously tracks every single dollar spent in the race to the White House. Welcome, John.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Al.
So, John, let's start with those attack ads. In the past week, super PACs have spent at least $20 million, $20 million on ads. How did that translate on the airwaves?
Yeah, we've seen 26,000 ads in the past week just in the GOP primary alone. And out of that total, one in four were ads that were aimed at taking out Donald Trump.
It looks like all that money was wasted because they still couldn't take out Trump.
Yeah, I'm sure you could think of something better to spend it on. Trump's kind of a singular phenomenon. We've never really seen anything like him. It's not clear that any amount of money would turn his momentum around. This is really a different kind of election in some ways, but in others, it's real predictable. We're still seeing billions of dollars spent, and it's still on track to be the most expensive election in American history. And I can tell you, if you don't have a super PAC in this race and you're not a billionaire, you're going to be operating at a real disadvantage.
So we should remind people about where those super PACs came from. Now, these are the groups created after the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010. So let's just say I decided to run for office and you wanted to create a super PAC just for me because you love my values. I've got great ideas. I'd be an amazing president. And if I say so myself, I look pretty damn good in a suit. So what limits would there be on you going out and getting money from me?
Well, there's no limits, actually, Al. You can collect unlimited amounts from labor unions, corporations, and really what you hear the most about is money from billionaires. For example, I could collect $10 million from a donor. I could take that money and I could go out running an ad saying you're the greatest thing since sliced cheese. And it's all perfectly legal. The only restriction is that I can't coordinate with your campaign.
So there's really no limits. And while you can't coordinate with my campaign, you could basically bankroll my entire run.
Absolutely. I can pay for, it's mostly television ads, but I could pay for what they call the ground game. I can knock on doors. I can hand out flyers. I think what's most extraordinary about Florida, and this seemed to be overlooked a little bit, is without Marco Rubio's super PAC, he wouldn't have been able to compete at all.
So those outside groups are spending millions on these ads. But can you break it down for us in terms of parties? Like, how many ads are coming from GOP-leaning super PACs versus the Democratic ones?
Well, this is going to change once we get into the general election. But right now, while the Republican candidates are still tearing each other to shreds, the overwhelming majority of super PAC ads are being financed by Republican super PACs. Probably only about 1% of all of the ads so far have come from Democrats, while on the Republican side, it's way over half of ads.
That is John Dunbar of the Center for Public Integrity. He's going to be joining us throughout the show. John, talk to you in a bit and keep thinking about being my campaign manager. That'd be great.
Okay, thanks, Al.
John's team of reporters at the Center has been tracking money behind political ads throughout this election season. We're going to take a closer look at how it's done with Reveal's Laura Starcheski.
In an office building in Washington, D.C., one corner of the seventh floor is full of reporters in jeans and button-down shirts, flats and cardigans, quiet with concentration. Katie Zuvich is one of them, tracking the dollars flooding our political system. She's hooked into a stream of information that gives her a bird's-eye view of the whole country.
My entire inbox is just like, ad alert, ad alert, ad alert.
They come from a special database telling her when there's a new political ad set to air somewhere in the U.S. She's seen hundreds since the primary season started. Back in January, when I first visited Katie, most of the ads were flowing into Iowa, and one caught her eye.
We are at war, not just abroad, but here at home. With the clear and present threat of radical Islamic terrorism on the march, we must...
This is an ad for Ted Cruz,
the one proven conservative for president. Stand for Truth, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That last line.
Stand for Truth, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That's the part Katie pays attention to. Stand for Truth, Inc. is a super PAC. The ad stood out to Katie because Stand for Truth is new. They just formed in November. And for a new group, they'd done something pretty big. They'd earmarked $4 million for 30-second TV ads like the one you just heard. So who gave that $4 million to Stand for Truth? To find out, Katie runs down a checklist of public documents. First on the list, super PACs have to register with the Federal Election Commission, or FEC. She checks their website.
Okay, we have two pieces of information. We have the address, and we also have the committee's email address.
Which belonged to a person, a guy in Kentucky named Eric Lycan, as it turns out. We found his phone number.
You've reached the desk of Eric Lycan at Des Moines Shoal. If this is an inquiry regarding a political committee...
Eric Lycan is the guy who files the paperwork for this super PAC. He's a lawyer who helps political campaigns and super PACs navigate the legal landscape. And he never responded to Katie's emails. So we sent a reporter to Lycan's law office in Lexington, Kentucky, to try to get an interview.
Good morning.
A secretary said Lycan wasn't in that day.
Would it be possible for me to speak to his assistant?
She is working on something right now.
Would it be possible for me to make an appointment?
You would have to call her.
And we never heard anything back from his office.
That's about all we know.
That was all we knew until about a month later, anyway. A slew of new FEC filings came out at the end of January, so I went back to D.C. to see what we could learn about who was giving money to Stand for Truth. There were just 29 donors.
So the top two contributions are each $500,000 by Adam and Tara Ross.
Together, they gave $1 million.
So who are they?
Let's find out. So Adam Ross, and he's Goldcrest Investments.
We found out that Adam and Tara Ross are a husband and wife team. He's an investment fund CEO in Dallas, and she's a lawyer who's written a few constitutional history books. We wanted to ask the Rosses why they'd chosen to drop $1 million to support Ted Cruz.
Goldcrest Capital.
Hi, this is Katie Zubich, a reporter at the Center for Public Integrity.
We left a message.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks so much. That happens a lot.
So do you ever get a call back?
No. I never get a call back.
The Rosses never responded to our inquiries. But with a little digging, we found out more about them. Adam sits on the board of the Republican Jewish Coalition, along with some of the biggest Republican donor billionaires in the country. On Tara Ross's website, she says she's, quote, conservative, but with a definite libertarian streak, exclamation point. They've both been donating small amounts to Republican campaigns for years, but the $1 million donation to Cruz's super PAC dwarfed everything they've given before. How far did that $1 million go? Stand for Truth ran attack ads against Rubio and Trump in South Carolina that cost about $2 million total. So the Rosses' donation would have paid for half of those ads. Now on to more shadowy territory. A group that's one of the big players this primary season is not a super PAC. And they've spent millions on ads like this.
What happens if we retreat? What happens is you'll leave a space, and that space will be filled by someone else. The only nations right now that can even
music bursting in the background, the glory of America, and you've got a very positive portrayal of Marco Rubio.
Michael Beckel is another political reporter at the Center for Public Integrity.
Learn more at conservativesolutionsproject.com.
It's a mystery where Conservative Solutions Project money is coming from, and it will remain a mystery for most, if not all, of the election season.
Conservative Solutions Project is another kind of outside group called a political nonprofit, a 501c4.
There's basically no paper trail. If it's an ad sponsored by a super PAC, you're going to be able to see who is behind it. You're going to see the names of the top donors. You're going to see who is really creating this and how much money is being spent on this. If it's an ad run by a nonprofit group Very limited information is publicly available.
That's why political nonprofits are often called dark money groups. They can raise unlimited amounts, and legally, they never have to disclose who is giving them money.
Do we have any idea how much money they have?
They put out a press release last year saying that they had raised about $16 million.
And they've spent at least $8.5 million on pro-Rubio ads so far.
Marco Rubio is in a very unique situation. Most candidates haven't seen a single candidate nonprofit group pop up.
This is the first presidential election where one dark money group is pushing one candidate so aggressively. That's an issue because the whole purpose of these 501c4 groups is that they're supposed to advocate for issues. They can't exist just to push one candidate. Some watchdog groups say Conservative Solutions Project has already crossed that line, but the group protects itself. Marco Rubio appears in their ads, but the ads never say the words, "Vote for Marco Rubio."
Those few words are very important. The few words that are missing allow lawyers to make a case to the IRS that this is part of their issue advocacy.
And they make that case so the groups can keep their tax-exempt status as nonprofits and spend as much money as they like. And even when there is a challenge, it takes years for the IRS to investigate. Conservative Solutions Project's ads for Marco Rubio have already run. They've already been seen by voters. They've already done their job.
So, Laura, here's what I'm wondering.
Uh-huh.
Why should we, the people whose living rooms are being flooded with these political ads, care who paid for them? I mean, does that actually affect the way you think about a candidate or an ad if you know who's paying for it?
Al, if you want to answer that question, you have to think about that little disclaimer at the end of an ad.
Okay.
Paid for by Stand for Truth, Inc. or Priorities USA.
Mm-hmm.
That name of the outside group will be the only clue most people get about who's behind an ad. And if you start paying attention, you notice that all those names seem to have something in common.
And that is?
To find out, we have to play the Super PAC name game!
The Super PAC name game!
I'm going to name a Super PAC, and you try to guess its political leanings, liberal or conservative.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Okay, our principles.
Liberal.
Wrong. Conservative. Keep the promise.
Definitely conservative.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Ted Cruz. Priorities USA.
Priorities USA. Priorities USA. I'm going to give this to the right.
Nope. It's Hillary Clinton.
All right, all right, all right. Come on. Let's get my averages up. Let's go.
All right, let's mix it up here.
Bring it.
Right to rise.
Liberal.
Conservative, Jeb Bush.
Really? I thought that was a Bernie thing. Like, Bernie has the right to rise.
All right, protect our future.
Liberal.
Totally fake.
Really? Laura.
Okay, well, you did pretty good, Al. You put in a good effort.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Al.
That was Reveal's Laura Starcheski, and she'll be joining us a little bit later in the show. So clearly, it's hard to tell the political affiliation of these super PACs by their names alone. That's something political scientist Joanna Dunaway has been looking into.
They're sort of deliberately not upfront about who they are. They choose these friendly-sounding names so they can come in and just sound like, oh, well, our main purpose is really just to help society.
Would those friendly-sounding names actually sway voters? Do people even notice who pays for an ad? To find out, Dunaway created an experiment. She asked about 400 people to watch a political ad. What each person saw was the same at first.
It's happening right now in your neighborhood. A generation of young people is in danger.
The ad was fake, but Dunaway tried to make it as real as possible. It accused one candidate of being soft on crime and encouraged you to elect the other guy.
America deserves better. Vote Dave Reed for Congress.
And the only thing we changed was the small disclaimer at the end of the ad that said paid for by
the campaign to elect Dave Reed, paid for by the National Rifle Association, paid for by the Citizens for a Safer America.
That was the only difference, the disclaimer at the end. And here's what's amazing. The ad paid for by Citizens for a Safer America, the group with the super PAC-like name, was the one people found the most credible. With one exception, people who already liked the NRA trusted their ads the most. Everyone else trusted the vaguely named group. Dunaway calls this the persuasive power of ambiguity.
If you can't assign a motive, then I think people are going to at least treat your message or what you're trying to say as baseline credible.
People don't trust the ad paid for by a candidate because, in general, we think we know what politicians' motives are, and we don't trust them. We know that they put ads out designed to help them win, but that's not how we think of groups we've never heard of before.
That friendly-sounding anonymous name really does allow the message to seep in because people don't have a reason to instantly have their guard up. Because they don't know anything about you, and sure, your name sounds friendly.
Persuasion by absence of red flags.
Yeah, by absence of information. Or absence of reputation. Maybe that's the better way to put it.
That was Joanna Dunaway from Texas A&M University. With so many outside groups airing so many ads, over 100,000 of them so far, it's harder than ever for voters to cut through all the noise. When we come back, we'll keep following the money trail, taking a look at some of the biggest political donors and what they're after might surprise you. This is Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.